Brother occupancy ends here at 4 o'clock. So I'm sure Brother Glock is conscious of that, and we'll ask him now to address us.
Since both David Long and I have a plane at 6, which is perilously close to the time allowed between 4 and that departing hour, I guarantee we will not go long. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Galatians. We read in verse 6, I marvel of chapter 1, verse 6 of chapter 1, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And then I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, becoming confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ out of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in that I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. And then a reference in Luke chapter 9. Verse 49, we read this, and John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. They have a number of attitudes represented in these verses. We have been today discussing controversial areas. Areas that, in fact, do affect Christian fellowship. And it is important for us to recognize that we are to maintain Christian fellowship when that is possible, and that we are to draw lines when that is not possible. Now, the parameters are clear. The stages in between are not so clear. In the first instance that we read in Galatians, Paul uses very strong language. Fundamental doctrine was at heart. The doctrine as to the person and work of Christ, the very essence of how a person is saved. We are aware of the contest that was going on in the heart of the Galatians relating to salvation through works. A legalism added to bring in one instance salvation, in another instance a spiritual life. And Paul says, look, when we have the basics of the truth of the gospel at heart, we do not back off one instance. If a person or an angel preach any other gospel, when the gospel that I have preached, Paul says, let that person be accursed. And in case we didn't hear the first time, he repeats those exceedingly strong words. Now, we need to have that attitude. And there are threats to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ in the present day. And not just from without, from within as well. And I frequently, in listening to the gospel being presented, cringe at some of the added concepts that are made prerequisites for salvation. Because we, in fact, want to try to ensure Christian living on the part of the person making a profession. And I think sometimes we get the cart before the horse. We need to be very strong on the fact that the kind of faith that is saving faith is faith that works, given the opportunity. That's saving faith. It's not saving works. And these things are all too often confused, even in our circles from time to time. Now, I know there are extremes, and we will say, well, believe and slip your hand up and that's it, go live your own life. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about the fact that as a man is saved not of works, any works, lest any man should boast. And Paul, in attacking that basic threat to the purity of the gospel, says if anybody comes in and preaches another kind of a gospel, which is not the same good news that I have, but a message of another sort, let that person be accursed. Now, that's strong. We need to be that strong when the purity of the gospel is at heart. Now, in Philippians, we have the other extreme. Here we have a doctrinal issue in Galatians and Philippians. You have a motivational difference. And the Apostle Paul does something that we always tell people they're not supposed to do. He judges motives. And he says, look, some people are preaching Christ out of contention, seeking to add bonds to my affliction, to my bonds, make it worse than it is for me. Can you imagine a person doing that? I'm going to get up and preach the gospel so that Paul gets punished more. Can you imagine somebody doing a thing like that? But evidently people did things of that sort. The more they preached, the harder it got for Paul. And some people were enjoying that. Evidently there were jealousies afoot between these people and Paul. And they're adding affliction to his bonds. Some, on the other hand, were encouraged to preach Christ out of pure motivation because they were challenged by Paul putting his life on the line. Now, Paul had a response there. And in that response, the Apostle Paul says this, I don't care what the motivation for preaching Christ. As long as Christ is preached, I'm rejoicing in that. And there are some people out there who are preaching Christ out of very strange motivations. Some may preach Christ to make fun of a conference like this. Do you think that's possible? I think it's possible. They're still preaching Christ. And though their motive is wrong, the message of the purity of the gospel is right. And they're not with us, really. They're opposed to us. But through their ministry, people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that we can use as a basis for rejoicing. Therein, I rejoice in that Christ is preached. Now, here are two extremes. One, a doctrinal issue. The heart of the gospel is at stake, and Paul comes down with his strongest white-hot language for that kind of situation. Here, his personal pleasure is at stake. His name is at stake. His honor is at stake. And Paul doesn't give two hoots for that. There's a big difference, isn't there? But where do these issues we've been speaking of come into play? Now, I cited a verse where the disciples, the little group, comes up to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, hey, somebody's out there working without a union card. You know, he's casting out demons in your name. He's not one of us. Never saw him before. Now you stop him. And the Lord said, no, let him go his way. Let him go his way. I'd like to talk about the letting go his way principle, okay? I think this is a principle that emerges out of Scripture. There are some things that we are to take direct and strong action in. We've talked about some of those in our panel discussions. And there's another thing, another whole approach that we let them go their way. We are not in the business of forcing people to follow our particular procedure against their will. They're still unconvinced if we force them to do that. And it's not my responsibility to pummel someone into submission to the particular viewpoint that I have, even though we all know what we've been discussing is right. Isn't that right? Yes, indeed. We say that without embarrassment or shame. It's wonderful to be those who know the truth. But it's not my position to go to someone who has a different viewpoint in relationship to the question of their charismatic gifts or the whole working of Satan and demons. It's not my responsibility to pummel him into submission to my particular position. Now, that very concept emerges out of the passage that's been before us a number of times today in 1 Corinthians 14. The close of the section dealing with the whole order of the meetings of the church, in which Paul is addressing the question of tongues, the subject of tongues, and the role of women within the functioning of the church, which is just a narrow part of the broader context. The Apostle Paul sets forth this particular emphasis. Verse 36 of 1 Corinthians 14. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Did the truth of Scripture originate with the Corinthian church, Paul says? Are you the only ones who know the truth, Paul says to the Corinthians? Then he adds this, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You see what Paul's saying here? He does not set down specific rules of discipline. He does not even feel like he is responsible for all these people who have gone off into these various misapplications of the revelation of God. He sets forth the truth, and if they are going to ignore it, and I like the concept of ignoring it, if they are going to ignore it, it's their responsibility. No longer Paul's. If they purpose to be ignorant of this, let them be ignorant. Now that relates to this whole broad context that we have been discussing. If a person confronted with the basic principles, the lines of reasoning that we have set forth in the panel and individually in our messages, if in fact these basic approaches, which I think are sound and reasonable, are rejected by individuals, we have fulfilled our full responsibility. And we do not have to carry the burden of their action as our responsibility. We do not have to feel like we must convince them against their will. There is this attitude of, if you please, benign neglect. Agree to disagree. Now, I think out of this emerges a basic concept that when I am dealing with fellow Christians of different persuasions, of different emphases than what we have discussed, my desire is to have as much fellowship with them as I can have. I want to be able to walk down the Christian road with them as far as I can walk. And as we are walking along, I can have some fellowship relating to who, in fact, the person of Jesus Christ is. That he is fully God, all the while perfect man. That the work that he accomplished is a work once and for all accomplished on Calvary. That there is salvation available for any man who will believe that Christ died for their sins, according to the Scripture. I can take that step. And I can take the step of believing in the basic concept of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I can take the step of believing in the full inspiration of the Word of God. You see, we have walked in agreement so far. And I enjoy that agreement. You know? He's not for us, against us, he's for us. Christ might be preached out of wrong motivations, but he's being preached. And I'm walking as far as I can. I have fellowship. And all fellowship means is to have things in common. And those things that I have in common, I treasure with those people. But we come to some points where there are differences. And they're more than the ones we've just talked about here. We might come to that fork in the road called premillennialism or amillennialism. And some go that way. On their way to destruction. No. Some go that way. And some go another way. At that point, I can't really rejoice with that person. I have a man that I know very well who has a different eschatological viewpoint than I have. And whenever I come to a passage of Scripture that relates to prophecy, where he has one viewpoint and I have another, I can't talk to him. Yeah? We're done at that point. Because all I have to say is, oh, I just can't wait until the Lord comes and reigns on this earth, and once and for all, we see what the government of God is like on the earth. It's going to be great. If I say that to him, he'll say, humbug. That's in your head. You're a literalist. And our fellowship ceases at that point. Now, it hasn't affected the other dimensions of my Christian fellowship with him. It may come to the point of ecclesiastical differences. I can walk some of those steps I've said with many brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. But then we come to New Testament church principles. The corporate meetings of the church, God's people gathering together for the big four of prayer and breaking of bread and fellowship and edification of teaching. And those people see these things carried on in different ways. I think they're wrong. And when we come to that point, there's a path. We separate. I can't walk in fellowship. And the same thing is true in the areas that we have been discussing this day particularly. Now, let me be quick to add this. Normally, the one that separates is the other one. You know the story about the couple that were driving along. They've been married now for 125 years. And the wife looked over at the husband and said, "You know, you don't sit close to me like you used to when we were dating." And the husband says, "I haven't moved." And that's true. The charge of cutting off from fellowship is leveled against us, but in reality belongs at the feet of the others in this regard. We'd be happy to have these folk in our fellowship as long as there was submission to the basic principles that we teach. They're the ones that have moved. We have not. And I don't like being given the guilt trip of being the guilty party in that. You don't support Christian fellowship. Yes, I do. You have made the difference. I have not. You have moved. I have not. But all that being said, let's be aware of the fact that we want to be able to walk as far with our fellow believers as we can. We want, as we have started out this session, our brother started out by 1 Corinthians 13, the whole of this is wrapped in love, one for another. And we may have brothers and sisters that find great differences, and I think wrongfully. But still the dominating dimension of our lives should be the Christian, the crowning jewel of Christianity, love. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love for one another. I am sorry that there is division in the church. When there is division, it is my responsibility to have walked as far with that person as I can. Division, and there must be divisions. When that comes, let's be certain that my heart still maintains an attitude of love and concern and compassion for individuals who have chosen to go another way, which we are convinced is not the correct way. Let them be ignorant if they choose to be ignorant. Paul takes no stronger action than that. After setting forth in chapters 12 and 13 and 14, the whole struggle over this particular doctrine, he almost is anticlimactic when he says, let them be ignorant if they will be ignorant. Corinthians, if you're going to go that way, go that way. He has discharged his responsibility. And as we face these questions today, and as we have openly discussed these, I think, in a sense, we have discharged a responsibility that we have. And the responsibility then rests, resides with you, with those that will be influenced by the things that have been taught this day. And I do not purpose to take any stronger action or any less of an action than the Apostle Paul takes. If they will be ignorant, let them be ignorant. It is my responsibility as a Christian to walk as far as I can with my brothers and sisters without compromising the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, without having attitudes of pride that would say, that person's preaching Christ, but I don't like the way he goes about doing it because it's out of wrong motivations. Those two parameters. And when I see him doing something on his own, let us have the attitude of our Lord. He's not for against us. He's for us. Let him go. We'll see how it works out. The attitude of Paul, if he purposes to go in a way other than is logical and reasonable by the instruction of the Word of God, let him be ignorant still. And we walk as far as we can walk with every brother and sister in Jesus Christ in fellowship. When the differences come, we part. But it is our goal to walk as far as we can without the compromise of the truth of God's word. May we have the wisdom to function between the parameters of let him be accursed, and nevertheless Christ is preached, and in that I rejoice. Let us have the wisdom to walk in fellowship in accord with the word of God.